My guest is attorney Andy Sirkin, S-I-R-K-I-N. Just Google Andy Sirkin if you have any questions, want to do something with investment partnerships, shared ownerships with family, equity sharing, condo conversion. Tenants in common was the topic in the first segment, which we've finished, and I want to talk about other ways of shared ownership for affordability. But before we jump into that, Andy, the tail end of the last segment, I was just wondering, with tenants in common, is it still a little more affordable? Like that house in LA for $995,000, you'd pay more if it wasn't a tenants in common, and are insurance and lending a detraction?
So on the affordability cost, it's a bit hard to answer because it really depends on the particular property and whether there are, in fact, comparable condominiums. Because we do a lot of TICs for property types where a condominium, an equivalent condominium, is simply not available. Particularly, for example, in Los Angeles, there's a lot of properties that are somewhat unique. You know, there's certain architectural styles, certain vintage, certain size characteristics, and there just aren't any condos. So we can't really compare the TIC cost to anything comparable.
Okay. Well, now, what about
to the extent that you can do the comparison? Then yes, generally the TIC is going to be a less expensive alternative compared with an equivalent, let's say, condominium or single family home. And on the other question you asked about the insurance and the lending. So insurance costs, insurance is difficult, as you know, in California right now for everybody across the board. But as far as comparison, it's about the same in a TIC as it would be in a condo, both for the individual unit owner's policies and for the association policy. As far as lending is concerned, we have less competition in the TIC loan market compared with the condo market, where basically every bank is in the market. And as a consequence of that, the underwriting guidelines are a bit tougher, and you're probably looking at about 0.5% difference in interest rates.
Okay. What other ways? You have so much on your website. Other ways, and one of the things, other ways of shared ownership for affordability, one of them became kind of controversial. And I know it's called Picasso, and they buy these homes for like $3 million, $4 million, whatever, and they break it up into 6 or 8 units, and it becomes people, you know, neighbors don't like it. You know, they feel like they're living next to a vacation rental or an Airbnb. And then they say, no, it's fine. We take care of the property. And, you know, it's very controversial. As a matter of fact, they were your client at one time. You kind of got them going.
I wasn't their first lawyer, but I worked with them for a number of years. I put together quite a few documents for them over the time that I was their attorney. I haven't, as far as I know, they're still using my documents, but I haven't done any new documents for them in the last year or so.
And what are they? What?
Let me explain. So conceptually, you know, we were doing vacation home sharing long before Picasso was formed. By we, I mean our office. And the basic idea is that you have a vacation home that's shared by multiple users instead of just by one family. The number of users can be anywhere from just 2 families up to, you know, 13 families, 15 families. It just depends on the situation. But conceptually, it doesn't really matter how many families there are. The basic idea is to make the home more affordable, both in terms of the acquisition costs and the operating costs, by having people share those burdens. And you may know, statistically, the average number of days that a vacation home is used by its owner is approximately 17 days a year on average. And even vacation homeowners who use their home a lot typically still aren't using it more than, say, 6 weeks a year. And in an 8 an eight owner model, which is the Picasso model. That's what people have, right? That each owner has 6 weeks. So you might say that by buying 1/8 of the house, they're not really giving anything up in terms of usage. They're getting just as much usage as if they owned their home alone, but they're only paying 1/8 of the price. So they're saving a lot of money. They're, in the case of Picasso, they're getting professional management. These are not all professionally managed in terms of all vacation homes that are shared, but in that model that they are. And it's also much more environmentally friendly, right? You don't need eight homes for those eight families. You only need one home. And in terms of consumption of resources, both the construction, the ongoing energy costs, and so on, are a fraction of what they would be if every one of those eight families had their own home. So I think it's a great model for vacation home ownership. If you're somebody that goes back, wants to go back to the same lake or beach or golf course or ski hill every year, and you don't, you know, you want to feel like you're a part of the community, like you're an owner, like you have a stake in what's going on, like you have a foothold in the appreciation market, it's a fabulous alternative to, for example, either renting on the one extreme or owning the whole home on the other extreme.
You bring up a good point. I've got a client who owns a vacation home in Santa Barbara, and he's been here about 6 or 7 days in the last year. So, yeah, you get eight people with money and they all want to buy eight homes, vacation homes, and then they're going to be sitting there empty for most of the year. So you bring up some good points. But you might have, like you said, you might have two or four families. Maybe they inherit a property, a house. So then you could turn it around and make it we're not calling it a TIC. You're calling it an equity share?
No, neither of those.
Or fractional ownership.
Yeah, we call it fractional ownership, but really the main thread is that it's a vacation home that people are sharing in a way where they're not there at the same time. So when we were talking about TICs earlier in the program, that's a situation where all the owners are living on the property, typically in multiple homes, but at the same time. In this variety of shared ownership, people are not there at the same time. You're there 1 week, I'm there another week, and so on. So we're not physically sharing the home, but from an ownership and economic standpoint, we're sharing the home.
And you can work, like I said, you know, families inherit the family house. Maybe that's a way to keep it and share it,
right?
and keep it equal. Yeah.
We do that all the time. We work with many groups of siblings and extended families who, you know, finally the patriarch or matriarch has passed and, you know, they now have to figure out, well, what are we going to do? And maybe some of them want to own, some of them live further away, maybe they want to get out. And so we're listening, you know, what do these various participants want to do, and how can we make that happen from a legal standpoint so that those people that want to continue to share the home can do it, and the ones that want to get out can get out. And among those sharing, maybe some of them are going to use the home a lot, and some of them aren't, based on where they live or their family situation or whatever. It's a more difficult legal puzzle to put together compared with, you know, starting a new fractional ownership group, both because of the different goals of the members of the group, and also because the family relationship always makes things a bit more difficult.
But exactly.
Do it all the time, and it can definitely be effective. You know, for me, the key to dealing with family groups is listening. I need to be able to hear what people are saying and make a connection with each member of the group, so that they feel that they can trust me and that I'm not favoring someone else, and that I'm hearing what they're saying and understanding what they want.
My guest is attorney Andy Sirkin, S-I-R-K-I-N, Sirkin. And you can Google that name and find out what he's doing. He covers California all over the world. And if this sounds like something you might need, we only have about a minute left. You have any other ways of shared ownership for affordability that you could just give us a couple of highlights?
Sure. Yeah. Another major part of our practice is equity sharing, which is a broad term, but the basic idea is that if you don't have enough money for the down payment on a home, you get it from someone. It can be a family member or your employer or local government or institutional source, but it's not a loan. You don't have to pay the money back. What the money provider gets in exchange for their money is a share of the appreciation in the home going forward. So it's another way of getting money for a home without having to actually pay interest or repay the money. If the value of the home goes down, you owe the investor less than you got from the investor.
That makes sense. And you should call Kamala Harris. Anything else? We were just running up against the clock. I wish we had more time.
Well, so the sort of cutting edge stuff right now that we're doing are other models to help homeowners that involve tokenization. So creating tokens of real estate that, you know, people, so I can invest in your home essentially, where we create almost like a house coin, but in the sense of a Bitcoin, right? We have a little piece of the house that is represented by a crypto token. And then it's a way for you to get money to either to access equity, or if you're the buyer, to get money for the down payment. And it's a way to democratize the real estate investing world so that you don't have to be a millionaire to invest in real estate.
Tokenization, never heard of it. Sounded like a violation of Fair Housing Act, token. But my guest, we're out of time. I wish we had more time. My guest, Andy Serkin, attorney Andy Serkin. Just Google his name, Serkin, S-I-R-K-I-N. He's based in San Francisco and France, and he can help anyone all across the world. I learned a lot. Andy, thank you so much for being on Radio Real Estate.
I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Rest of you stay tuned for the weekly multiple listing sales update.